your Bibles to Romans 1. I was going to have you start in chapter 11 where the message is tonight, but he said I had time. So, now, Romans 11. I don't preach out a whole lot, so you're just going to get something that my people got a little while ago. But Romans chapter 11, everything in here is good. So I enjoy every chance I get to preach. But beginning in verse 6, it says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for your love and for your grace and mercy, Lord. And I pray that you would just guide and direct my words and let them be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord's already directing my thoughts because he reminded me that I didn't introduce my family. My wife, Laura, is over here, and then from youngest to oldest is Elsa, Anna, and Leela. And I didn't tell them they had to stand before, so you just have to guess from the tops of the heads. So then I have two that aren't with us tonight. Kayla is at home at our home church, and she wakes up early for work in the morning. And then my son, Noah, is at Wichita State University in Wichita, and he didn't think he could make the drive, so he didn't get down here. A little bit about me. I am the son of a pastor. I believe you had my dad preach for you a few weeks ago. My brother is my pastor. They're both named Rick, my brother's Rick, my dad's Rick, and that only confuses a few people. And then I have another brother, Josh Carter. He's a pastor in Washington State, and I have a sister, and she and her husband just surrendered to ministry to be missionaries to Italy, and they're getting ready to start deputation here in a few months. And we're a busy family, I do work a full-time job right now, but I'm hoping to work myself out of a full-time job in the future with the church, into a different full-time job, I guess. Tonight we're in the book of Romans in chapter 11. The title of the message is Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. I'm sure you've heard the comparisons of, you shouldn't compare apples with oranges and things of that nature. And I feel like a lot of people have issues with understanding the Bible. I don't understand why people have issues understanding the Bible. It just is what it is. It says what it says, and it means what it means. But some people don't think everything means what it means. And so they take things for something different, and they try to make it something that it isn't. And I'm just glad that I'm too dumb to try to make it say anything it doesn't say. I just can't get past what it already says and how good it is. We start here by a kind of a tongue twister or maybe a mind twister, the way it's phrased. But when you break it down, it's quite simple. It says, if by grace, then is it no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, of course, we're talking about election or salvation. Election is a word that has been twisted and abused, it does not mean that there are a select few to be saved. It means exactly what it says it means. Those that are saved are elect. And it's very simple, and that's what the Bible says it says. And again, you can read into it or read out of it what you want, I guess, but the Bible is of no private interpretation. It's of its own interpretation. And so we look here in verse 6, and it says that if you have grace and you apply works to it, then it's no longer grace. It's works. And if you have works and you apply grace to it, then it is no longer works. It's grace. You see, if any part of either system lapses into the other, then it is completely the other. Just like you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light and the darkness doesn't stay. It leaves because the light came on. If you turn the light off, then the darkness comes back because one cannot abide with the other. It's a completely different type of system. You cannot combine the two. And for salvation's purpose and accomplish anything in salvation. Now, if you study the book of James, you would know that works are a significant part of what we use in our lives for Christianity. It's the work that we do that causes people and that caused people, according to the book of Acts, to call them Christians first at Antioch. It was based on their works, but that had nothing to do with their salvation. That was already taken care of. So if at any time something is required of me to keep my salvation, then my salvation was never of grace, and it was always of works. It means that there was something that I could do to merit my salvation. But my Bible says that I cannot merit my own salvation. So it follows then that salvation must be by grace and grace alone. Now here's the thing, all must accept that grace and works are mutually exclusive. They must accept it. In verses 7 and 8, it says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." Now, it's not talking about today. It's talking about the time that this was written, okay? "But Israel did not receive it, not because they couldn't." Did you see that in verse 7? It says, "Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it." Two different peoples, okay? Some Israelites got saved, and now they were the elect, okay? The election saw it. But some Israelites chose not to see it. And so they are still Israel. They're not part of the elect. They blinded themselves because of their rejection. Most people think that Israel is blind and therefore they reject the gospel. That, I believe, is not the case. If that were the case, then God would be dooming them to hell on purpose. And then we would have to fall into the category of the Calvinist that believes that God chose some and rejected others. God only darkens the eyes of those that reject. And that's exactly what he says here. They were not saved because they chose to reject God, not because God rejected them. They chose. They made the choice. My God, in his word, said that he was not, nor would he ever, he could not, would not, nor would he ever force someone to choose salvation. But he also would never turn one away. In turn of that, he does not force them not to be saved. Israel's heart and eyes are blind because they choose to be blind. They refuse to accept Christ as their Messiah, and therefore they are blind to the truth. We see the same thing in our day by the individual, don't we? You go out and you knock doors, or you talk to people at work, or you talk to people the store, wherever you may go, and there are those that choose to reject Christ. They choose it. You offer it to them, and they don't accept it. You go to the door and you knock on the door, and they get mad at you for knocking on their door and telling them about Christ. They're rejecting. I don't understand. Knowing the significance of salvation and what it did for me, I don't understand the person that when you knock on their door or you talk to them about salvation and they let you tell them about the need of their salvation and the urgency of their salvation, and you ask them if that is something that that they would like to do right now, and they say, well, maybe later. They choose to be blind. It's unfortunate, but it is the case. If you accept the Bible as truth, then you are not blind to its power and authority, and that is the situation. People don't accept the Bible as authority. In fact, most people don't accept any authority other than their own. If you reject the Bible, then very simply, you reject Christ, just as Israel did. And their rejection of Christ is what blinded them to the truth. Now, you say, why did they reject? In what way did they reject? How exactly did they reject Christ? And for that, I would take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. Isn't it amazing that we have a book that not only puts questions in our minds, but gives us the answers? In Isaiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 9, it says, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out, and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. The concept is this: they learned to express fear to their traditions, but they do not know the fear of the Lord. They follow the law as best they think they are, but they do not follow Christ. If they followed the law as God intended for them to follow the law, they would have known Christ the second he came to earth. They would have known. Because it's very clear in the law what Christ was going to be and what he was going to do when he came to this earth. They choose blindness. They do not know this because their fear is from the learned saying or mantra. They have never felt the presence of God in their lives. They are worshiping a dead religion because God had already promised to kill it, and they just refuse to acknowledge its death. Perhaps it's like the little child who loses the pet or the goldfish. The goldfish, it's just sleeping, right? That's all. It's just sleeping. Everything lies on its back when it's asleep. They refuse to acknowledge that that it's dead, even though the prophet told them, prophet after prophet after prophet told them that there would be a Messiah to come and that he would finalize and finish the law, and they refuse to accept that fact. In effect, the fear of the Lord was taught out of them. They became fanatics indeed and left the heart out of it. But it doesn't take very long to read the writings of Moses before you understand that Moses loved God. He loved him. And the law was written in love, not in work. And if you miss the fact that the law was written in love, then you're not going to understand the purpose of the law. They did not follow the instructions of Moses to remember the power of God in their lives and experience the power of God in their lives, and therefore, God became a clinical, cold, dead thing. time after time, God would command the children of Israel to set up stones or to set up a pillar or to set up something to remind them. And he would say, when you bring your children by, tell them why this was here. And not one time do I ever read in my Bible that they ever did that. They never went back to what they were supposed to go to and tell their children the stories that they were supposed to be told, where they were supposed to be told. So what happens if you don't accept that grace and works are mutually exclusive? In verse 9 of Romans chapter 11, it says, "And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their backs always." This is taken from the book of Psalm in chapter 69. And the commentators, they all kind of give little credence to the use of three different words in verse 9, but I find that nothing is put in the Bible by God on accident. Or just for the sake of needing to fill some lines. These words can be used in synonyms in our Western tongue, but they're not the same thing. The first word I would call your attention to is snare. It says, David saith, let their table be made a snare. Now, the table is something you're supposed to come to and be able to rest and be able to recuperate and be able to replenish yourself. But the word snare, it means it's an instrument for catching animals, particularly birds. It catches them by the leg. And it consists of a cord or a string with slip knots in which the leg is entangled. It's not a net. It's a snare. And it's meant to trick the animal that comes along. It's meant to entangle them and trap them and get them by the leg so that they cannot escape what is to come. You can flop around and flip around and do all you want to, but you're not going to get out of the snare. The harder you struggle, the tighter it gets. And this place that was supposed to be a place of comfort, a place of replenishment, a place where they could go back to and renew themselves, just as the Bible says it does in our lives. It renews us, it filters us, it cleans us, it makes us fresh. All of these things that the Bible is supposed to be, to them it's just a snare. It's just a trap. Which leads us to the next word, which is trap. It says that not only was the table made a snare, but it was also made a trap. And a trap is an engine that shuts suddenly or with a spring. It's used for taking game, a trap for foxes or something of that nature. I'm sure that the old metal traps that you can see every once in a while. I believe they're illegal to use now, but people still collect them and some people still use them. What it's meant for is when you step on it, it clamps very quickly on your body part that was on the trap. Now, a trap is not the same thing as a snare. Though the letter, the word trap may be used in a figurative, or the word snare could be used figuratively in the sense of a trap. But it is something that is mechanical. It's something that requires ingenuity of a certain kind. It requires some kind of ambush or strategy. See, the children of Israel were blinded by choice, but there was a strategy behind the blindness. The devil doesn't make it obvious, folks. He doesn't make it obvious. It starts with just a little bit of separation, just a little bit. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and the Lord was coming to them and he was speaking to them face to face, he'd come down to the mountain and they would hear the rumblings and they would see the fire, and they had the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of the cloud by day, and his presence was on them and around them and ever before them, the Bible says, and the children of Israel said that it was too much. It's too much. Moses, we want you to be our spokesman for God. We want you to go to God and then just tell us what God has to say. And whatever God says through you, we'll do that. But it only took him a couple days to mess that one up, didn't it? You see, at first, they didn't think that they were separating themselves from God. They said they were going to do everything God said when Moses told them what God said. But God wanted to tell them directly. But they separated themselves just a little bit. Just a little bit they separated themselves. And before long, they weren't listening to Moses or God. In fact, they got to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years because of that little trap that they set for themselves. They didn't see it coming, but it caught them just the same. And then we have something next in verse 9 that says that the table also became a stumbling block. A stumbling block is just that, a block that causes to stumble. That which causes someone to err. You see, the problem with not separating grace from works is that you begin to think that you deserve grace because of all the works you've done. People that believe that they have earned salvation are wrong. People believe that they can earn salvation are wrong. There is no way to earn your salvation. It must be given to you. And it's given by grace because it's something that we do not deserve. That's the layman definition of the word grace, is something given to you that you don't deserve. If you deserved it in any way, then it would be no longer grace. It would be that of works. You see, I work a job. I work for a plumbing company in Oklahoma City. And my boss expects me to work, and then he pays me. Right? I work, and then he pays me. He doesn't pay me hoping that I'll show up for work. My first plumbing job kind of was that way. They paid everybody on Wednesday, and then they had trouble getting people to show up Thursday and Friday. And it's amazing how those guys that didn't show up Thursday and Friday on Monday, they were complaining about how short their next check would be. Well, you know, you want to get paid for 40 hours? Show up for 40 hours. Why? Because they don't employ you through grace. They employ you through works. If I wouldn't mind getting employed through grace. It would be great. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works because most people, when it's given by grace, they don't do a whole lot. That's why America is in the condition that it's in. That's why I have a hard time in my own pulpit calling America Christian or even calling many people in church Christian. The Bible says anyone that's saved is a saint. But the Bible only calls people Christians that earned it. They were called Christians not by themselves, but by others that saw the work they put into the blessings that God gave them. We work because of the grace. We work because God is good. Not so He'll be good. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. When our children get old enough to love us, it's because we love them. We taught them. Everything they know about love, we taught them. The same is the case with God. Everything we know about love, God taught us. And the reason that the world doesn't understand love is because they don't have the right God. The problem with not separating grace from works is that you begin to think that you deserve grace because of all the things that you have done. And that is exactly the arrogance that the Hebrew children exhibited. Because they were Hebrew, they considered themselves elect, but the Bible very clearly says that that's not the case. And because people are Catholic, they consider themselves elect. Because people are Presbyterian, they consider themselves elect. Because they got baptized, they're elect. Or maybe because I'm Baptist. We don't like to think of it like that, but it's true. For a great many sitting in our churches today, it is what they have done that secures them in their minds, not what God did for them. This makes the average church member in Baptist churches and the majority of members in every other man-made religion to be just as blind as the Hebrew people were. Not because they have to be blind. No. We don't have to be blind. At any time, in any place, in any situation, God is willing to lead, to allow a Hebrew person to come to the Lord. Anywhere. Just like you. But you have to make the choice to not be blind. In your life as a saint, you have to make the choice to not be blind. If you want to be called a Christian because you've earned it, you have to make the choice to not be blind. Because you can get saved and you can go to church and you can be faithful in services and you can do all of that and still not be a Christian. A saint, yes. Christian, no. Folks, you have to choose to not be blind. Things that are different are not the same. If you go out in the world and you live like the world and the world doesn't think of you as a Christian, you're not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the blessing that it is, and for the encouragement it can be, and for the reminders that it can give. And God, I pray that you would help each of us to strive to be worthy of the name Christian and not just be satisfied to be blind. Stand with me if you would, Pastor.